Further Review is brought to you by Consumers Beverages, Buffalo's beer store. Visit us online at consumersbeverages.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Further Review, Buffalo News, BuffaloNews.com. I'm Ryan O'Halloran, joined as always by Jay Skursky. We're talking Monday morning after a 40-14 Bills win over the Jets. We'll cover a bunch of topics, but Jay, let's start off with what you wrote about in the lead to your observations. Was this embattled defense? Yeah, we had spent the last couple of Mondays saying, what's wrong with these guys? You know, what do you think they figured out, and how important was it that they got some stuff figured out?
Well, I think it helps that they got Aaron Rodgers on the schedule at the time that they did, because he looks absolutely cooked. But you can't apologize, right, for who's on the schedule. You got to play, you know, the opponents as they're listed on the schedule. And the fact that it was Rodgers who struggled, obviously, in this game. I mean, let's be honest about it. I mean, he did not look very good at all. But I don't think the Bills should have to apologize for that. I thought there were a couple of keys for them. The first being Greg Rousseau. He continues week in, week out to make big plays. And, you know, the Jets get the ball for the first time. The Bills actually take the ball and the kick. They score a touchdown. They go up 7-0. And the Jets put together a pretty good drive after that. And they get down close to the red zone, 4th-and-1. They decide to go for it. I think it's the right decision at that point in the game. And Rousseau makes a huge play to get a turnover on downs. Not, you know, doesn't go into the books as a turnover, but it, for all practical purposes, it is. And I thought the defense really fed off of that, because then the actual takeaways start, right? And Rousseau, again, involved with the second one. He tips the pass that Jordan Phillips catches. And by the time the second half arrived, because, you know, the defense had to sort of, you know, really, I think, be the dominant unit in the first half. You know, it was still a 7-0 game late into the second quarter. And so I thought that the defense had overall the performance that it needed to have. This was what I termed a get right game for this defense, and the fact that they were able to get as many players back too, I think, really helped. You know, Rasul Douglas, Taylor Rapp, Matt Milano, all back in the starting lineup. I thought Milano had probably his most impactful game since he's been back from injury. He had the fumble recovery that was almost a touchdown. I noticed him at times in the run game making plays up near the line of scrimmage. So I think those are all good signs for this team moving forward. Obviously, it's not going to mean much in Week 18, but it's more about what it could mean in the postseason for this team. And I think this was a boost of confidence. I mean, I asked Rousseau that. I asked Taron Johnson that. You know, did you guys need this type of a performance given the way the last few weeks had went? And pretty much they all agreed that, yeah, you know, this was a good reminder of who we can be and what we can do.
Yeah, I'll look at one sequence, and you pointed out this game was 12-0 at halftime. It was 12-0 still in the third quarter on consecutive plays. Ed Oliver, run stuff, false start due to the crowd noise probably, Rousseau sack, Benford interception. They turned that into a 20-0 lead, 19-0 lead, excuse me, and now the route is on. And like I asked Sean McDermott after the game, I said it went from 12-0 to 40-0 pretty quick.
Yeah.
And that's when the game really got going. But, you know, The modus operandi for this defense remains clear. Get a lead so you don't have to play the run.
Yeah.
And that is going to be their recipe moving forward. Let's hypothetically, let's say they face Denver and a rookie quarterback in the first round. Get a lead, make the Broncos one-dimensional. Bobby Babbage can throw some pressures, cloud some looks, and then cause some issues that way. Because once this team gets turnovers, you know they're going to get points off those takeaways. That's what they've done all year.
Yeah, it's a little bit dangerous living on takeaways, right? Because you can't guarantee those. And so would I like to see some more three and outs from this defense? Absolutely. You know, the third downs, you know, when you go back to the week before against the Patriots, were very concerning. I think the Jets had about 2 third downs, it felt like, in the entire first three quarters of this game, which the starters pitched the shutout for. So I don't know that we can get an accurate read on whether the third down issues are much better at this point. I don't think that that's one of the takeaways from this game. But to me, though, as I said, Ryan, before, I think this is about a couple of different things. Number one is getting healthy. They got their guys back. They got them a little bit of game reps before the postseason. And I talked to Taylor Rapp about that. You know, how big was it for you just to get back out on the field before the playoffs, just to kind of feel comfortable? And he agreed with that assessment. And so now, obviously, you know, the rest of the show, we'll look ahead to Week 18 and more importantly, to the playoffs and what all that could mean. But the fact that so many of those guys were able to be back out on the field gives you confidence moving forward that when the games are truly matter and are truly impactful, that they're going to be ready to go.
Cole Bishop or DeMar Hamlin in the wildcard round if both pairs are healthy?
Hamlin. I don't think he did anything to lose his job at this point. I think, you know, Bishop is coming along, which you want to see out of a rookie. But if he's ready for 2025, that's fine with me. In my mind, I think Hamlin has worked hard. I think he deserves the opportunity to start if he's healthy in the playoffs.
I'll go Bishop.
Get your cold beer here at Consumers Beverages, where you'll find the largest selection of craft, specialty, import, and domestic beer. Consumers Beverages has the fastest empty container returns at all 18 locations. Visit consumersbeverages.com, Buffalo's Beer Store.
And Ryan, in your column in Monday's Buffalo News, you took sort of a big picture look at where this team is. We know that the number two seed has now been clinched. That means they will be home in the first round of the playoffs and potentially in the divisional round should they advance. Still don't know who they are going to play. We'll get to all of that as the show goes on here. But I want to start with the head coach. And this is a team that has now achieved 13 wins. I had them somewhere in between 10 and 11 all offseason. I thought they'd be a playoff team. I did not pick them to win the division. I'll admit that. I picked the Dolphins to win the division. The Tua injury, I think, obviously changed their season. But this is about McDermott and the job that he's done this season. 8 years into the job, phenomenal amount of success, the best winning percentage in franchise history, even better than Marv Levy, yada, yada, yada. We can go on. Where are you at, Ryan, with the head coach of this football team and the job that he's done this season? And does it mean anything until they get to the playoffs in terms of, you know, how he's viewed?
Right. Both things can be right at the same time. Let's start with the job he's done this year. I don't know if you noticed yesterday in the locker room, Jay, they're playing the doubt card. I mean, give me a break. You started 3-0. You've been in control of the division pretty much since the middle of October. I don't think that's a narrative that's accurate. I mean, we all picked them to make the playoffs. You know, I thought it'd be an 11-6 team. So in that respect, Sean McDermott deserves credit because this team has overachieved record-wise. He is trusted as coordinators, probably. That's what it appears to be. But, you know, one thing that was, we talked about this last week, he was PO'd after the Patriots game. He didn't hide it. Criticized the special teams coach. Criticize the lines. And, you know, one thing about McDermott is he's an eye test guy. And he wanted to come out of this game feeling that his best guys were ready for the playoffs. He didn't want to squeak by the Jets and then have in his mind all week, is my team ready for the playoffs? Do I need to play them against the Patriots to gain a little bit of rhythm? Well, I think he checked all those boxes against the Jets, which gives him a hell of a lot of freedom moving forward. But, yeah, I think he's been good with his game management for the most part. A couple hiccups here and there, but just about every coach has. See Raheem Morris last night, see Zach Taylor on Saturday. But I think Sean deserves a lot of credit. Now to the flip side, it's all about what you do right now. And, you know, they've lost home division games the last two seasons. They got to break through that, get to that AFC title game, then take your chances at Kansas City.
Yeah, and, you know, again, we'll talk about the conference as a whole as we go on here, but the way it's shaping up, I mean, this team is going to be tested in the divisional round. And I do think, though, that it was the two seed was worthwhile to play for. I think playing the starters yesterday, as long as they did, was the right decision. I know there was some talk about, you know, does it even matter, that kind of thing. I think it does matter. And earning, you know, the opportunity to be at home. Listen, you'd want to be at home as opposed to on the road. And I think you mentioned something there, Ryan, about McDermott and sort of, I don't know if challenging is the right word for his best players, but I wrote about Rousseau a lot in my observations about the defense. And one of the things that he said was, you know, Greg Rousseau is one of our best players and you need your best players to play their best. And it did sound to me almost like a little bit of a, they had that type of a talk in the week leading up to that game, right? And, you know, you go back a couple of weeks and Ed Oliver, I think, responded to maybe a little bit of a challenge before that Detroit game and looked really good. You know, in the postseason, you know, the last few years, right, you can count 13 seconds to the divisional round losses, it's been the defense, in my mind, that has failed. And You know, that's got to stick with McDermott. It absolutely has to. He's a defensive-minded head coach. And so when you talk about the defense having the get-right game that it did yesterday, I think the head coach has to really know that that side of the ball in particular has to answer the bell when we get to the playoffs. And so for not just the players themselves, but for McDermott, I think there was a lot to build on, and Bobby Babich too, because that's a unit that needs to be playing with some confidence when the games matter here in January.
All right, Jay, let's take a look at the AFC. Six of the seven teams have clinched. A lot of teams are still playing for seeding. Denver controls its own deal still. It's like they're up 3-1 in a playoff series. Now they're going to a game seven. They've lost two in a row. Now they have the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday. You know, do you see the first-round opponent being the Broncos at this point?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think Denver is still in the driver's seat. You know, I think the Chiefs are probably going to rest Mahomes at least, and if not several other starters. So I think the Broncos have to get it done. Quite frankly, if they don't, I mean, that is a colossal failure. If you have that type of a lead, and I like your seven-game series analogy there, if you have that type of a lead and give it away, that does not look good on Sean Payton and that group. So correct me if I'm wrong, though. That game is in Denver, I believe. And so, yeah, with the home field advantage, with the Chiefs having nothing to play for, I think the Broncos do get it done. If you're a Bills fan, I think you're hoping for that, quite frankly. I don't think you want anything to do, certainly, with Cincinnati, and Miami is still alive. We'll see if Tua can return. I think the Bills are going to be favored over any of these teams. If I were ranking them in order of desirable opponent, I think I'd go Broncos, Dolphins, Bengals. Least desirable would probably be Bengals, and then it's a toss-up for me between the Dolphins and the Broncos. The Dolphins scare you a little bit with Tyreek and Waddle, right? They just do. I mean, and how well these two teams know each other. I just don't think you want to mess with the Dolphins again for a third time. So I would take Bo Nix and a rookie quarterback coming to Buffalo for his first playoff game. McDermott usually feasts on rookie quarterbacks, and so that's kind of how I see those three potential wildcard matchups.
Yeah, so I think it will be the Broncos. If I'm a Bills fan, I do not want to see Cincinnati. I do not want to see that quarterback. That's, you know, these are horses for courses type situations, and this is not a good one for the Bills. MVP, from the first play of the game on, they're chanting for Josh Allen to win the MVP. And I applaud Sean McDermott after the game. He basically was told that the national media was pumping the tires for Lamar Jackson all weekend. I'm going to pump the tires for my guy. And so without prompting, he said it a couple of times. Josh Allen is the MVP of this league. I'm glad he said it. I agree with him. Has Josh Allen done enough?
I think he has. I mean, listen, we watch him closely, right? We know what he means to this team. We've seen a lot of Lamar. Obviously, the Bills played the Ravens. The Ravens have had several primetime games. We're observers of the sport, even when we're not covering the Bills. Lamar is fantastic. There's no question about it. I don't think that there's a wrong choice here for voters. If it goes to Lamar, I don't think Allen should be offended. I don't think Bills fans should be offended. I think it's too bad what has happened on social media in terms of the discourse between the two and kind of pitting them against each other. I don't think it has to be that. They're both phenomenal players. I don't think, though, that there could be if you define most valuable, I just don't think there could be a player in the NFL who means more to their team than Josh Allen has meant to the Buffalo Bills this season. And so for that reason, I think he deserves it. I think that voters will maybe have a little bit of Lamar fatigue from him winning it last year when, you know, maybe his stats weren't as good as they are this year, quite frankly. And last year was kind of a weird year, you know, for the MVP. Nobody ran away with it. You know, this year I think there's three candidates, even if you want to put Saquon in there, who have built pretty strong cases for it. And I think it's going to be a tough decision for voters. I don't have a vote, with full disclosure, but if I did, it would go to Josh Allen.
Yeah, I don't have a vote either, and my plea to the 50 voters, do not split your first place vote. Make a decision. Have some guts. Rank them 1, 2, and 3. To me, it's Allen, Jackson, Barkley. You got to feel for Saquon. He gets over 2,000 yards. Most years, that would be enough to win it on a division champion team, but you just have two quarterbacks really playing above and beyond. And, you know, I've already started my tail of the tape for Sunday's paper. Here's is the Ravens lost at home to the Raiders. They lost on the road at Cleveland. So far, Josh Allen's three losses are all to division champions.
Mm-hmm.
The Texans, the Rams, and the Ravens. Two of those games he did not play well, but, you know, this is a 16-game sprint to this final week. So I think, and I think you hit the nail on the head, Jay. Take Josh Allen away from this team. Are they 5-12? Are they 4-13? Are they 6-11? You know, maybe they find some ways to win, but he's the reason why. And that's what you heard in the locker room, is Von Miller, who played with Peyton Manning, who played with Matthew Stafford. He says, this guy inspires me to play hard. And that's the kind of leadership that he brings to the table. So I think it's going to be in these races for MVP have not been tight in a lot of times in recent years. This could be one of the more hotly contested one to be announced in February.
All right, Ryan, and obviously we'll have plenty of playoff talk coming up, but we do still have one more regular season game here. Quick trip over to Foxborough for a Week 18 game against the Patriots, who did not look good at all this weekend against the Chargers in losing again. A lot of talk about whether Jared Mayo could be one and done as the coach in New England. Before we get into them maybe a little bit, let's just talk quickly about what we think the plan should be here for the Bills. Locking up the two seed as they did leaves this game meaningless, or renders this game meaningless, but that does not have to be a bad thing, because with the two seed no longer getting a bye in the first round of the playoffs as it used to, the Bills can treat this as their bye week, which, you know, I'm going to jump the gun and answer the question. I think they absolutely should. I think they should sit as many players as they can for this game. I think Allen will take the first snap, hand the ball off, and then I would run him right to the sideline and get him out of the game. The reason for that, he's got a streak of, I think it's 103 straight starts in the regular season right now, by far the longest in the NFL. I think the team should want that to continue, but after that, I think he should go to the bench. What do you think the plan should be here for the starters?
Yeah, and I'm on the same wavelength there. I think anybody who has started all 16 games and is healthy, they should be able to start that 17th game, because that is a badge of honor, mm-hmm. and they should be rewarded for that. So I counted 14 guys out of yesterday's starting lineup. To me, that would be absolute sits. NFL, you can't sit everybody, but you look at the trends. We've had chances to watch the Bills in garbage time, and on the offensive line, they've always pulled Edwards, McGovern, and Dawkins. Okay, there's your three. Wouldn't play James Cook. Yeah. How close is he to 2,000? Wouldn't play Allen after the start. On defense, guys like Daquan Jones, Taron Johnson, Terrell Bernard, Matt Milano, then anybody who's nursing something. So, McDermott said after the game on Sunday, he started making some notes on Saturday night. And so they've been thinking about it, and it's going to be a Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott collaboration. Sean even brought up Terry Pegula. I'm sure Terry will get a seat at the table because he's the owner. But, the Bills have no impact, win or lose. The Patriots fans want their team to lose so they can get the number one pick. So I think the Bills, the Bills backups are still good enough to beat New England, but that's the way I would handle it.
Yeah, I would. The only guy in there that I would disagree with slightly is on Cook. I'd play him at least the first series. He's at, I think, 981 rushing yards, somewhere just about there. I'd get him to 1,000. I'd try to get him into the end zone to tie the all-time single-season rushing touchdowns record for the franchise. That was set by O.J. Simpson in 1975. I think the team is aware of that. One thing I'm going to be writing about today for Tuesday's Buffalo News is they have 13 different players who have caught a touchdown pass this season. That ties an all-time NFL record. If they can get a 14th into the end zone, whether that be on a tackle eligible play like Alec Anderson, who we've seen report eligible countless times this year, or if it's a practice squad wide receiver who's called up, maybe Jalen Virgil, maybe KJ Hamler, that would set an all-time NFL record. That's something that they're aware about. I know Josh Allen takes a lot of pride in that, and he would love to see that record set. It probably won't be thrown by Allen, because I think he'll be out of the game. But those are just a couple of things to watch. So I would play Cook the first series. I'd try to get him in the end zone. I'd certainly try to get him over 1,000 yards. But then, after that, it's sit whoever. I read today That there's a possibility that the Patriots even sit Drake May for this game. Maybe, I guess that would probably be injury prevention or whatever, or playing for the first overall pick, as you just mentioned. You know, New England, I thought, had a pretty inspired performance when they came to Buffalo. Certainly did not have that this weekend. It'll be fascinating to see what shakes out there, because obviously, you know, this is a divisional opponent, divisional rival. And, you know, where are they in relation to where the Jets are, where the Dolphins are in the division? The Jets are nowhere, right? We know that. They might be looking at a full-scale rebuild. The Dolphins, I think, have proven with their core that they aren't good enough. And the Patriots, in some ways, might be the team that's furthest along because it looks like they've got their guy at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, if I had an AFC's quarterback draft, Allen, obviously one, I would take May number two over Tua. And, you know, the Jets really don't have one right now. I would sit Drake May because that offensive line proved incapable of protecting him against the Chargers. And then Christian Gonzalez, their best player on defense, he left the game with a head injury. There's no reason to play him. He's one of your core guys. He had a great game here. But, Jay, you've covered some bad teams. When a team like the Patriots gets close to an upset like they did here a week ago, that's it. They're checking out. Yeah. It's like, okay, we've done our best. And to lose that way, and now you got the, now you're really playing out the string. You know, I'll go back to the Bills real quick. As McDermott said, it'll give them an opportunity to look at some guys that they have to decide on whether they are part of the mix in the playoffs. To me, okay, you got to roll out Micah Hyde. You know, he's been here for over probably a month now. See how he moves around. You know, maybe some of the, you know, linebackers like Dorian Williams put him in a different spot. So it's, you know, there aren't a lot of decisions to be made, but, you know, hopefully by Wednesday they can at least, you know, say, hey, this is the way the practice reps are going to go. Because you need to get Mitchell Trubisky those reps in practice. He's running the game plan. So it's called a good problem to have for the Bills on Sunday.
Yeah, I'd add Bishop to that list of maybe a guy that you want to see a little bit more from. To your point, you know, would they consider making a change there, going with him over Hamlin in the starting lineup? You know, the call-ups from the practice squad will be interesting too, because if they do use one on Hyde, you'd figure they're going to call up Mike White because they don't want Allen, you know, serving as the backup. You're out of call-ups then, and that would eliminate the possibility of bringing up a receiver, as I had mentioned, because you only get two. So that will be interesting. Hey, listen, we're trying to find storylines here to write about this game, right, before we talk postseason. So Ryan and I will be back following the regular season finale against New England. The time will be TBA on that. It will be Monday, though, after the game. Sunday at 1, by the way, if you didn't see, that was a TBA on the schedule, but with nothing really to play for. That game will be Sunday at 1 o'clock against New England. And then, obviously, we will spend a good portion of next week's show previewing the playoff matchup against whoever it may be that will be coming to Orchard Park. And so, for Ryan O'Halloran, I am Jay Skursky. Happy New Year to all of you out there. Thank you so much for watching and listening to the Further Review podcast, and we will talk to you in 2025.
Consumers Beverages, Buffalo's beer store since 1948. Find out what our latest deals are by visiting consumersbeverages.com.